The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days when there again was a great crowd without anything to eat, he summoned the disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way, and some of them will have come a great distance." His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" Still he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" 7, they replied. He ordered the crowd to sit on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves he gave, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over them and ordered them distributed also. They ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. He dismissed them and got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmatia. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading, we see the result of the fall. There were many consequences. And each of these consequences, the Lord was going to respond to. And He wanted us to respond to. And the great way we see that response is in Our Lady. And here, in this holy house, where Mary grew up, where Mary helped the Lord Jesus to grow up, we're able to enter into their school of the response to the effects of original sin. But to be able to appreciate that response, we first have to see the consequences of original sin. First consequence was a colossal distrust, a real servile fear of the Lord. Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" God obviously knew where Adam was. But Adam was lost. "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid," Adam replied. "Why were you afraid, Adam?" "Because I was naked, and so I hid myself." Prior to the fall, the book of Genesis says they were naked and unashamed. They knew no one would take advantage of them. They were transparent before each other. Each was the image of God before the other, calling them to nothing but love. They had no vulnerability before each other or for God. Once sin happened, that's when they started to protect themselves from those who previously they knew loved them, because they were afraid. And the worst of that fear is when we're afraid of God. God was going to come to address that fear. "Who told you were naked?" God asks. Then we see the total irresponsibility that comes from sin. Man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me from the tree, so I ate it." Happy Valentine's Day. Her fault. Not my fault, her fault. And then the Lord God asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" Again, God knew why she had done something. God wanted her to discover why she had sinned. And her response, "Wasn't my fault. The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." So there's a great lack of responsibility that comes from sin, that again, God's going to help us to address. Third, some of the consequences. "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals," talking to the serpent, "from all the wild creatures. On your belly you shall crawl, dirt you shall eat all the days of your life." Here it comes. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel." Serpent's going to continue to try to bite us wherever we walk. To bite us, to trip us up on the journey of life. God's going to address that. To the woman, he said, I will intensify the pangs of your childbearing, and pain shall you bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall be your master, not your loved one, not your servant, your slave master. God's going to address that to the man. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat, cursed be the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat its yield all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall get bread to eat, until you return to the ground from which you were taken, for you are dust, and unto dust shall return. There's going to be the great consequence of the toilsome nature of work that God's going to address. In the gospel, we begin to see that response. We see it when the archangel Gabriel came to Mary in the house. It's enshrined right upstairs. Hail, rejoice is really the Greek word. Kyrie kekedomene. Rejoice, you who have been filled with grace. The Lord is with you. Mary had a fear of what that greeting meant, but it's a different type of fear. Most languages, there are two words for fear. One is a servile fear, which we're really afraid that we're going to be hurt or punished. We're afraid of terrorism, for example. We're afraid of pain. The other type of fear is holy awe. Portuguese, for example, you've got medo, and you've got temor. In Italian, you've got paura and timore, miedo and timor in Espanol. Two different words. One is a fear that you're going to get hurt. Another is a reverential awe, where you just don't feel that you're worthy to be in the other person's presence because of the other person's goodness. It shows how much we need to go. That was Mary's fear. It wasn't the fear of Adam and Eve in the garden. It replaced thinking that God's going to hunt us down to hurt us with a real reverence of God. Irresponsibility. Mary would, in that house, take upon the responsibility, even though she was a 14-year-old girl, even though she could have said, find somebody else. No. Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me as you say. This is what you want, Lord, I'll take responsibility. We see that same responsibility when the son she conceived grew up and he worked this great miracle in the gospel. The people had been with him for 3 days and they were hungry. So what did Jesus say? He didn't say, send them to the towns so that they can buy something for them to eat. He took responsibility for them. His heart was filled with compassion, it says. Literally, the Greek means hesplankna. His guts erupted. He was sick to his stomach because of the compassion he had for the crowd. And he was going to take responsibility as a good shepherd. And he was going to train us in responsibility. That's why when the disciples answered, where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place? Jesus asked, what are your resources? How many loaves do you have? He wanted all of us to get the picture that we don't pass the buck of blame, don't pass the buck of responsibility to others. We might not have all that we need in order to remedy what others need, but the Lord begins with what we've got, and then he's able to multiply it. But he wants us to be co-responsible with him. It's part of the redemption. Mary shows us that co-responsibility. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel. This hatred, this spurning, this enmity, is shown in every statue of the Blessed Virgin when she's stomping. It's good to be awakened there in the front row. When she's stomping on the head of the devil. But we also see that that's precisely what Jesus does. That enmity, that real hatred for evil. Not the negotiation with evil, not the listening to the lies of the devil who tries to trip us up, same way he tried to trip Adam and Eve up. God wants to give us, just like Mary, that holy separation from evil. To the woman, I'll intensify the pains of your childbearing, and pain you'll shall bring forth your children. It was not meant to be that way from the beginning. And we know that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, there was no pain. It was a miraculous birth. She remained a virgin in partu, not just before she gave birth and after. She remained a virgin in birth. This was what the real doctrine of the perpetual virginity of Mary emphasized. That Jesus passed through her womb the way he passed through the closed door of the upper room after he had risen from the dead. Great miracle. Where did Mary start to redeem the pains of childbirth? Not just then, but at the foot of the cross, when she became the new Eve, the mother of all the living, and she bore forth us with terrible pain. Her heart was pierced 7 times over by a sword. But that was the setting forth of the redemption. Because now, in God's plan, motherhood takes on a different meaning. When God was giving these consequences, he wasn't doing it as punishment. He was doing it as medicine. It's precisely through motherhood, through parenthood, modeled not on Eve but on Mary, that women were going to participate in their redemption. The pains of childbirth now are the cost of love. That just as St. Paul would say, what mom won't go through the pains of childbirth for the sake of the beauty of the child afterward? The pains of childbirth are awful, but they'll be taken on because of the joy that comes later. It helps precisely in the love to be able to pay that price for that type of joy. And so it helps to overcome the selfishness because there's a love for another. To the man, because you ate of the tree of which I have forbidden you to eat, cursed be the ground. In toil shall you eat its yield. By the sweat of your brow you shall get to eat until you return to the ground. Before, work was supposed to be pleasant. It was supposed to be joy-filled. It was a way precisely to express love for others. They were doing things for those that they loved. Afterward, it would be toilsome. But again, this wasn't a punishment. It was a medicine, precisely to help them overcome the selfishness of original sin by sweating and toiling for those you love. Most guys don't really love their jobs, but they're willing to do it for their family. They're willing to get up very early, get stuck in traffic, work under terrible foremen on occasion. They're able to do it all the way into their senescence because they care for others and they're expressing their love for others in their work. It's part of the medicine that's needed. Then we see at the very end how God clothed Adam and Eve. He made them their own clothing so that they'd be able not to worry about each other, not to take advantage of others, but that they'd be able to really respect them according to their dignity. God, after the fall, knew that modesty was going to be part of that plan of redemption. So just like in the Holy House of Nazareth, work was sanctified. Mary's work, but also Joseph's work and Jesus' work. so also God was going to give us a new vesture. He's going to help us to put on Christ, to literally wear the Lord, to take on His virtues, to put on His holy armor. It's all part of the redemption. We see that in order to eat, it was going to be very difficult. That in order to get the land to yield its fruit, it was going to require great toil. But in the plan of Jesus' redemption, He was going to do that in response to His mercy. He was going to give free meals. That's precisely what He did on the third day here. When He looked with compassion on the crowd, He didn't say, "Guys, go out and farm." Turned to His closest followers and said, "How many loaves do you have?" He had everybody sit down. And with response to 7 buns, that's all they had. A few fish. 7 panini, which we'll have here in Italy. He multiplied that to feed a massive multitude. Out of His generosity. And that's just a sign of many other meals that the Lord Himself gives us. It obviously points to the Eucharist, and the Eucharist points to the eternal banquet. But it's also the Word of God, which is a rich nourishment. We sang in the Alleluia verse, one doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth. And God gives that to us without our having to work for it first. The plan of the redemption is the plan in which God loves us first, shows us the way, and invites our cooperation, just like we see with the Blessed Mother. And when we begin to do that, that's when the harms of the fall begin to be healed. Today we come to this holy house of Loreto, where so many saints have come before us, conscious of the fact that we're still living with the effects of the fall, conscious of the fact that the Lord Jesus continued to have His guts explode out of compassion for us, wanting to help us. Today He's fed us with His holy word. He's about to feed us with Himself. It's a little bit of a down payment that He will stop at nothing in order fully to heal us. He wants to strengthen us by that meal. 2 courses. To imitate the Blessed Virgin, stomping on evil all the days of our life, so that we might pass from this holy house to the holy house not made by human hands, the house of the Father, where Mary and Joseph, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the saints who have preceded us here, await us and are praying for us, so that we might enjoy that eternal meal, where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more sweat and toil, but we will receive all God intended us to have from the very beginning. This is our faith. This is what the redemption is about. How proud we are to proclaim it and live it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.